Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Pat. We're with North Coast Food Web, working to build healthy communities in our region through food and agriculture.
And joining us today are Kelly Huckestein and Sam Sulian. And they are new farmers, not new to the area, but new farmers in the North Coast region. So welcome.
Thanks. Good morning.
Great to have you guys with us today. So before we start talking about farming and what you're up to, tell us a little bit about how you wound up here on the North Coast.
Well, I feel like I've told this story on this program a couple of times.
Just abbreviated version. Well, there's people who haven't heard it.
I know. That's fine. Well, my family's from here. Both my grandparents lived here, and both my parents grew up here. They didn't really meet and get together till they moved to OSU to go to college. But then I grew up in Albany area, but would come up here to visit my grandparents all throughout my life. So I kind of had a little bit, of knowledge about Astoria, but not a ton.
Regular at Scandinavian Fest.
Regular at Scandinavian. That is definitely true every summer since I was very small. But then after college, we started doing some farm stuff outside of Eugene. We went to U of O, so we were already in the Eugene area. And then we kind of had gotten to the point where we were trying to figure out what to do next in our farming careers. And we wanted to start our own farm somewhere, but it's really hard to get in that market in the Willamette Valley because it's so saturated. And so we thought about Astoria since we had family connections, and we came up here to see how it was, and we liked it, and we stayed. So
Sam, did you have connections here, or was it through?
Just through Kelly.
Ah, okay.
Kelly was my connection to that.
Great.
And where are you originally from?
And I was born in Indiana, but I grew up in Southern Oregon in Medford and Ashland, and then I met Kelly at the U of O when we went there.
Great.
And when did you guys move here? I'm trying to remember.
I think it's coming on 4 years now. I think it's going to be 4 years in March, pretty sure.
Well, we're very happy to have you here. So we do want to talk about the farm that you guys have recently started. But before we start talking about what you're doing now, I'm always curious about how people, that feels very aspirational to me. I want to be a farmer. I'm going to start a farm.
I think the word you mean is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes doesn't that go
There's
hand in hand?
Something in your mind that just seems a little strange.
Why does that seem like a good idea?
I'm trying to think exactly where that idea entered our brains. I was a major in sociology in university, but through that, I was also taking a lot of environmental studies classes, and it was kind of like focusing in on food food systems within sociology. I started taking a lot of, kind of semi-defining my own major a little bit with that. And got really into food systems work in college. And then I interned at Food for Lane County at the youth farm, which is like a 5-acre farm that they work with youth for the food bank. And I really liked that. And then we graduated and we were like, what are we going to do? We don't know what we're going to do with our lives. And so we went down to Central America and woofed the organic farm internships down in Costa Rica and Nicaragua for about 8 months. And then we came back, and then we were still like, what do we do with our lives? But we really liked farming. And so I happened to just randomly find an ad for a farm worker position on a farm near Eugene. And so I applied for it and got it. And then I started working there, and then Sam started working there. And then we were hooked. So.
And how long were you there?
I think I was there for 4 years. Sam was maybe like 2.5.
Yeah, I worked the first year Kelly worked there. I was hired on as just a temporary strawberry picker. So I spent most of the summer picking strawberries 8 hours a day, which is a little bit brutal.
Tell us about that.
Strawberries are delicious, but
yes, they are.
When you go down a row, they're not very tall. So you're down on your hands and knees. And when you do that for 8 hours, you have to figure out what a comfortable position is, whether you're going to get knee pads or whether you're going to squat for 8 hours.
Yeah.
I had some pretty strong knees and calf and thigh muscles after that summer.
So I think that's where the crazy comes in, right? You pick strawberries 8 hours a day. I picked them for maybe an hour at a time or something. And from that, you're like, okay, I want a farm.
Well, I think the crazy thing was coming back at the end of the season. I went right until they stopped being profitable for them to pick them anymore. They were still coming on, but not very strong, and it was going to start to get wet, and they were going to die off for the year. And so I went right up to that and then ended up getting another job for the winter. And the really crazy part was coming back when that was
again.
The only thing I did. Whereas Kelly started out doing a combination of a few things. She did strawberry picking and basil harvesting.
And harvesting like hundreds of pounds of basil a week. And picking strawberries is what I started off doing.
And then when the season got really up and running, they had to pull her off to do a few other things. So she got kind of a nice variety of tasks. And that's the fun thing about farming is you get a variety of tasks and they're related, but they're fun
and
different. And it changes.
Season, yeah.
What's really hard is when you're doing one crop only, it's easy to not be so into it after 8 hours. Or
even strawberries.
Yes.
Do you like strawberries still?
I still do. I love strawberries still. I was allowed to eat any of the ones that would not last, so anything that had a minor blemish that would probably make the whole bunch moldy when you tried to sell it, I was able to eat those. And so I did have half of my meals were strawberries for that summer.
A fruitarian.
So this was a fairly large farm that you guys, well, large by, you know,
our standards,
by coastal
it's
standards.
It's still considered small.
So tell us a little bit about it. What kind of operation was that?
Yeah, it was a biodynamic, organic vegetable and beef farm outside of Eugene in Notai, which is on 126 when you're driving towards Florence from Eugene. And the whole farm was like 170 some acres, but that included pasture land and hay. But the vegetable farming section, I think, was like around 20 acres. And then we have 2 acres of just basil. And then...
It's just like, that's mind-boggling.
It was about an acre or so of the strawberries.
Yeah. And so it was mixed vegetables. We did 5 CSAs, or not 5 CSAs, 5 farmers market, 600 member CSA.
Wow.
Wholesale account. We sold burdock to Organically Grown Company, which is the burdock you still get at the co-op right now. And
that's a lot.
Oh,
I mean,
we also had a pesto processing facility. It's very small.
Because you had 2 acres
basil.
Of basil.
Yeah. And so we would sell a base, which was just basically ground basil with olive oil that we'd sell to companies that would make their own pesto. And then we started making our own little jars of pesto to retail as well. So,
wow.
This is a pretty big operation.
Pretty big. Yeah. It was really fun. I mean, it was like the perfect introduction to like, we were thinking we liked farming, but we didn't know. And so we got to try all these different things and see like what really spoke to us, which was useful.
What were the crops you liked the most?
Well, I was known for brassicas.
So you were known for brassicas?
I was really into brassica harvest, but specific brassica harvest, which I did cauliflower and broccoli and Romanesco like 3 days a week. And with the broccoli, you like put on a backpack, it looked kind of like a hiking backpack. It had the like waist strap, and you'd just cut broccoli and throw it behind your back, and it'd fall into the backpack. And you'd do that till the backpack was full, dump it in the boxes. And we would do like maybe, oh gosh, in a day, probably like 300 some plus pounds of broccoli.
Wow.
And then, I mean, on a good day, you'd get substantially more than that, but that was pretty average. And then we'd switch to cauliflower and do like hundreds of cauliflowers and a few Romanesco. Brussels sprouts were also in that block. We kind of, because it was, relatively, I mean, I guess it was diverse, but on an organic farm, you need to rotate your crops, you know, through the different families of vegetables. So to make that easier, things were in blocks. So that's why when I was sent to do brassicas, it was just all in one spot. So that's kind of what you stuck to. And other people would go do the lettuce block or the carrot block, you know, but that made it easy for them to rotate because they knew in this whole, you know, acre section. Last year it was brassica, so next year we could do something else. So you kind of got put in little sections based on the family of vegetable.
Mm-hmm. So from all of that great experience, you have recently started your own farm. How long ago?
We moved on the farm about a year ago, but we haven't really started farming per se.
Because you're fixing things.
Yeah, and it's, you know... It's very different to start a farm from scratch than it is to work on someone else's farm. There's so much infrastructure that needs to go into it. And on the coast, one of the biggest things to start with is an elk fence, which we're still working on because you can't really grow anything until the elk won't trot on it. So that's kind of our big push right now. Well, you did get some chickens, so we've been dabbling in figuring out if we could do egg production, but we're still kind of like getting used to it and crunching numbers and seeing if it's something that we could do financially.
Or that we enjoy doing.
There's
that combination, right? Make money and enjoy the
work. Well, on the farm that we worked on, we didn't have any experience with chickens at all and very little interaction with the beef cattle they had because it was kind of a separate set of required skills. And we were really good at the planting and harvesting and taking care of vegetables. So we were kept on those kind of tasks.
Yeah.
So we wanted to start with chickens, which are a little bit easier to manage, both physically and size. Yeah. And,
how do you feel about chickens now that you've been?
Well, actually, we were vegan for, you know,
years.
I mean, I was, for a really long time. and it wasn't for necessarily, you know, not, you know, thinking that meat and eggs and things were bad ideas. It was just because we weren't able to get the quality that we thought was, you know, that we respected. And so it was easier to just cut it out than to try to, like, you know, and back in the 90s, it was really hard to find, like, certified humane and a small scale and all this stuff. So the chickens were the first animals we started interacting with in that way. And we slaughtered some. And we were, it was, you know, we thought about a lot before we did that. It was like, what is this going to be like? We haven't even eaten meat in so many years. And it was actually a really good experience because we had seen how well they had been treated. Like, you know, we knew since we were the one treating them that they had been treated really well their whole lives. And it was really a pretty humane, in our opinion, which I feel like we have a really high standard for being vegetarian and vegan. I felt like it was a pretty humane situation. So we actually enjoyed it a lot.
Great.
But
so what's your vision for your farm? What do you see this turning into? What are you wanting to do?
Well, we took we are part of a cohort with the OSU that OSU is putting on for some small farmers. And one of the courses we just took with them was kind of a figuring out what to do and how to do it sort of thing. So starting with big vision statements and then going up through how to manage your time and money and what decisions are more important when and some of these things. So we have just been going through a lot of these big vision projects. So right now we're still in the process of trying to figure out what makes sense. And part of that is we don't have an elk fence up, so we don't really know what we can grow. So this year we'll get the elk fence up and start growing some things and then see which of those actually are doing well or that we can manage. But our vision is to have a lot of vegetable produce and then possibly potentially more animals or at least some animal aspect on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
But until we have some actual practice with what we can specifically do on our specific property, it's going to be hard to make concrete decisions about that.
Right. But it sounds like it's such a great opportunity that you're able to go through that small farms program now on the beginning edge of what you're doing to help with some of that planning.
I feel like we were in like the prime spot to take that class. And it was geared towards small farmers or beginning farmers in particular, or people that were transitioning their farming career. So I think because we'd gotten property and we were just about to start those like big visioning process, it was a really like helpful, like walking you through that whole process so that we could kind of think about all that before we like just dove crazy into it. And then 5 years later, we're like, what are we doing? You know? Which I'm sure we still will, but at least we'll have like some focus or guide in that. So,
and some of those bigger picture stuff, it's best to work those out early so that you are going in that direction the whole time instead of trying to rethink large plans, especially with the farming. There's a lot of infrastructure that goes in. Like, if I'm going to put up this elk fence, I want to make sure I don't have to put it up again every year until I figure out what I want. So things like that.
Wow. I want to take a brief moment here to interrupt and say that you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5. We're streaming live at coastradio.org, and you can listen using the TuneIn app on your mobile device. And if you were just joining us, we are talking with new farmers Kelly Huckestein and Sam Sulian. And they have property out in Napa that they are slowly transforming into a working farm. And for those of you that were just listening, what the program that they were talking about, and I want to kind of give a little bit more information about that, it's through the OSU Center for Small Farms and Community Food Systems, and it's their Growing Farms program. And the Center for Small Farms is doing sort of a special investment in the North Oregon coast because they really see potential for small farms out here. And so you guys are part of kind of a guinea pig experiment. They've transformed this course. It used to be all in person, and it used to only be offered in the Willamette Valley, and it's now an online course. So it has a whole online component, and then there's been some in-person classes and some online. And they've been doing this in partnership with North Coast Food Web and Food Roots down in Tillamook. And so it's a really cool way of investing, and you're meeting other people who are wanting to start small farms in our area.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is key because we don't have that agricultural infrastructure here. And so finding other people that are trying to figure it out too. I mean, I think right now the people that are trying to start small farms are kind of like the pioneers of the farming community in this area as it is right now, and hopefully in like 10 years, you know, we'll have paved the way to make it way easier for other people to get into it. And so that's my hope, that this class is going to help, you know, this generation, or just this push right now, kind of get it under control so that they can help other people, because they'd be, you know, we want more farms in this area. It's just because there aren't any, it's even harder to kind of break through and get it started. So
when Kelly, you speak to that infrastructure, I'm always just stunned by this statistic that Clatsop County is next to the last in terms of agricultural production in the state. So when you speak to a lack of infrastructure, lack of people doing this, boy, that's certainly absolutely the truth here in Clatsop County for sure.
Yeah, and Tillamook is higher up in statistics, but largely because of their dairy industry and the Tillamook Creamery, and that's really keeping them going. But for like sort of these small scale direct to consumer vegetable production operations, they're also pretty low down on that kind of thing too. But the coast has a lot of potential.
And I think, you know, I think it's one of those things that, especially, I mean, we got this a lot coming here from the Valley, because the Valley is very, you know, agriculturally motivated and set up, and it's been that way for a long time, and it has really great soils and yada yada yada. People were like, why are you moving to the coast, like what is wrong with you, you know? And
I thought you wanted to farm.
Well, you know, and it's different, you know, it's a different climate, but I don't think that means that you can't farm. You just have to think about it in a different way, or you have to think about your crop selection in a different way, or your farm setup in a different way. But it doesn't mean that we can't grow vegetables here, you know, and it doesn't mean you can't grow even tomatoes here. You can grow them. It's just a slightly different process than it would be in the Valley. And because
And it might not be a brandy wine or
right, exactly. Or, you know, maybe it could, I don't know. But it's just like
it's
that innovation.
Yeah.
I think it's like it's gonna take a little more innovation because there isn't all this knowledge that we're building off. It's kind of, we are the knowledge that hopefully people in the future will
build. Well, it's also establishing markets as well, you know, because a lot of those direct markets don't exist as much or as strong here as they do in the Valley. Mm-hmm. So challenges obviously very clear, but what do you think of what are some of the opportunities here for small farms? I mean, why would you want to do this here, and what do you think some of the possibilities are?
Well, there's a lot of demand. Like every day I hear people asking where the local produce is, or how local is this product, and it's disheartening to some of them to hear, like, the reason we don't have any is there isn't any, or there's so little produced here that we aren't able to have it in town in our grocery stores, or, you know, you have it during the market season
or
the restaurants. And there's definitely a strong local food movement nationally. So everywhere you go, you see it in restaurants and grocery stores and farmers markets, you know, local products, that people want that. And that demand, I believe, is here for the local people as well as the tourists that come. They want local honey, or they want local food while they're in town, or local cheese while they're in town. They want to see what the taste of the coast is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not that it isn't here. It's just it's not in here in the abundance, I think, that they're used to in other places. So.
Well, and the two of you really get to hear a lot of this frontline, because you both work at the Astoria Co-op here in town. And so you get a lot of that.
I feel like we're doing our secret market research by working at the co-op. I mean, we just get to hear what people want and, like, what people are buying, which, you know, I won't say that I didn't think about that when I applied. But that's not my main goal.
But it's also been a good experience for you guys because you're exposed to that demand and you really hear it all the time.
Right.
And there is that interest, and not just for produce, but also for, I mean, you're hearing it a lot for eggs.
Right. And that's one of the reasons we kind of were thinking about the chickens and we're right now trying to actually do some costing out, because we have heard so much demand for eggs and, you know, even just we only have, you know, like 20 some chickens and we can't even keep our friends in enough eggs. And so that was one of the things where we were just like, oh, if people want eggs, how could we maybe do that? And I think the hardest thing is in Clatsop County to start a new farm are there aren't that many wide open pasture, you know, mm-hmm. acreages for sale. And so a lot of people aren't a little bit small. I mean, you know, compared to other areas, small, you know, like still 20 acres is still considered small in a lot of farms, other places. And so how do you make the most out of your small property in a way that makes financial sense? And so one thing we're kind of toying with, you know, a little bit is thinking about, like, is there a way to do egg production, like, cooperatively with other farms that are also small? If one farm was able to produce some kind of egg handling facility, buy in from the other farms, and then help meet the demand in a larger sense and kind of share the cost a little bit.
And explain the egg handling, because the legalities of selling eggs, not everyone understands that. So you can sell direct.
You can sell direct. So if you had, you know, chickens at your house or your farm, you could sell directly to consumers at, like, a farmer's market, and you don't need any special anything, really. But if you were going to sell to, like, the co-op, like, or a restaurant, you have to have it go through this egg handling facility, which has its own set of regulations, and you have to do candling and all this stuff.
And explain what candling is.
Well, I mean, I don't have that much knowledge of it, but you have to, like, look at every egg and, like, make sure that there aren't imperfections. And
the eggs have to be washed.
Yeah, all these things that, you know, make sense if you're getting bigger and bigger. You want to have that food safety aspect there, but it is prohibitive to someone that's just having a small amount of chickens. It's a decent amount of infrastructure again and cost of just maintaining that. And so we've been recently thinking of how could we share that through multiple farmers, and then possibly meet a higher demand for eggs, which I think that there definitely are.
There
a lot of people
is.
That want eggs in this area.
And I think that's great, looking at that cooperatively. That's such a trend in lots of different areas and seems to be taking some traction more and more in farming. So hope that works out well, because we love those fresh eggs.
Well, I think anybody that's eaten eggs fresh, and especially where chickens have been allowed to graze on pasture, mm-hmm. You really notice it, especially
bugs.
In the color of the yolks is so mm-hmm. startling,
yeah.
I think. That deep, deep orange.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange then if you do go back and get something that's coming out of a much larger facility.
And not only the orange, but the yolk stays together, and you have to, like, really try to break it up if you're, like, whipping your eggs up or anything like that. We were just kind of, like, beating it, trying to get it to break up.
There's some structure there.
It's structure,
there.
Yeah.
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 So one of the things I find interesting about starting any kind of a venture, and I know you guys are doing this, is you're both working full-time jobs and, oh, by the way, you're trying to create this farm. So how's that going?
Well, I started scaling back my hours slightly to prepare for that. And so I only do work part-time at the co-op now. Sam still works full-time, but it is a challenge.
Yeah, hats off to you guys. So we always do love to talk about food on the show, and I know you guys are both working and you're getting ready to get your farm going here, but I'm curious about what you're cooking these days.
Well, since we have chickens, we've been experimenting with eggs and doing things that we haven't done before because we, as Kelly mentioned, we were vegan for a long time, so it's kind of reintroducing eggs to our diet, trying
to. So you're exploring omelets and quiche mm-hmm. and.
So omelets and quiche, and then Kelly's been making some breads like.
Brioche and things like that. So.
Yum.
Yeah. But it's fun. That is one of those things that takes a lot longer, and so we don't do it as much as we'd like.
Yeah.
but recently, I feel like we're just cooking with whatever we can find and happen to have after a long day of work, but. We do a lot of like tacos, quick, fast homemade tortillas. Just makes that taste a million times better, and it doesn't take that long. And we actually just got this really amazing masa in at the co-op that's fresh. And it comes, like, prepared. It's all ready to just be, like, pressed in the tortilla press.
Sweet.
And it's the best-tasting masa. I'm kind of a masa snob, and so.
Is it Three Sisters?
It's Three Sisters, yeah.
It is the best.
It's so
good.
We just started carrying that at the co-op, and so I feel like that's going to make our taco-making, like, nights a lot faster and just more delicious. So that's what we've been into recently.
Oh, and that's such a great reminder, guys. If you have not tried making homemade tortillas, and like Kelly said, with the masa in the store, they've done all the hard work. You just have to press it. So amazing. That sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm. And come summer, when you're growing a lot more vegetables, you're going to have some really delicious tacos.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Well, it's very exciting to see more farming starting to happen in the North Coast region. I really applaud you guys for taking it on. And
yeah, and I hope that more people will start. And yeah, we're all in it together. But
well, we wish you the best.
Absolutely. Before we run out of time, I do just want to mention a few upcoming events that are going on. And I want to thank everybody that came out this past Valentine's Day to North Coast Food Web's Food Film Festival at the Columbian Theater. There was so much going on in town. And I don't know, wherever you are on the coast, I'm sure you noticed that there were a million people out here because the weather
traffic
was beautiful. But we had a really great showing of the film Chocolat on February 14th. So thank you everybody who came out and helped us raise money for our community kitchen fund. Coming up in March, on March 14th, we're going to be showing the film Tortilla Soup.
And speaking of tortillas.
Speaking of tortillas, maybe we'll have some fresh homemade tortillas as part of the appetizer for that. It'll be great. As always, before the movie, we have an open house at our new building from 5 to 8, and that's at 577 18th Street. And that's going to give you an idea of where the community kitchen is going. Construction has started.
Yay.
We're very excited, and we're continuing to raise money for that. So thanks for everyone who's helping out with that. And then in April, on April 11th, we're going to be showing the film Big Night, which if you haven't seen that, you really should, because it's amazing. And so there's more information about both of those at our website, northcoastfoodweb.org. And I also want you to save the date for April 11th during the day. We are partnering with the Master Gardeners, Clatsop County Master Gardeners, for their Spring into Gardening program. And that is all going to be about food. Food, glorious food is the theme. And we're going to be doing workshops on raising food crops. Kelly and I are going to be doing one about what's great to grow on the coast, seasonal varieties that work here. There's going to be workshops about soil, and I know Marianne and Pat are both going to be helping out with some cooking demonstrations. And Meet Your Farmer is going to be happening at Spring into Gardening this year. So it's going to be a really exciting day, all about local food, April 11th.
So April 11th is indeed a busy day, and I don't want to put Pete Roscoe on the spot, but I'm going to anyhow, because he was talking about Pete Roscoe from Fulio's, in support of Big Night and our Food Film Fest, doing a Big Night dinner at Fulio's. So hopefully that will be happening as well to support our efforts to get our kitchen built.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's going well, and we're really excited about it, and we're hoping to start cooking classes this spring.
Yay!
So thank you so much, and thanks, you guys, for being on the show. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks very much, and thanks to our engineer, Marianne, and to Luke and Katie for our theme song. And thank you for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast.